So I ask you, how has your prayer life been? How is your prayer life? If you could describe your prayer life in three words, what would they be? Write them down. Or think about them. Write them down on your paper. You got the outline. It's back there. It's a pretty simple outline. We're in Colossians. We're nearing the end of Colossians. And Paul ends with an encouragement to pray, a command to pray. If you could describe your prayer life in three words, what would they be? Would it be not so well? Would it be could do better? Would it be on fire, alive, and fruitful? Would it be needing, sustaining, and powerful? What three adjectives would describe your prayer life? Think about it and jot it down. And I'm going to stay here until you get to three. So when you got to three, look at me. If you don't have the three, look down. Yeah, it's good you're thinking. I want you to think about this. I really want you to think about this. Because my prayer, as I just prayed for us, is that we would all be moved to go the next step in our prayer life. Like, for real. Like, actually do it. So if you hardly ever pray, to move from hardly ever praying to praying sometimes. That would be taking the next step. If you pray sometimes, to pray more often than not. More often than not. That would be four words. More often, always. I don't know. You get what I'm saying. God grows us step by step, doesn't He? We don't go from being a heel to a saint in one day. Now, we can be saved, and that is a life transformating, and that happens in a moment. But as far as being mature, you know, the process of being mature is a step by step by step. Jesus said, follow me, take the next step. And so I'm talking to everybody here because everybody can take the next step. If you're not saved, the step is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. For everyone who is a believer here in Jesus Christ, you believe that He died for your sin, rose again the third day, then you have been given a prayer life. Are you using it? That's where we need to evaluate. Where am I in my prayers? Where am I? And what would it look like to make the next step? Now, okay, everyone's looking at me, so I think you got it. Now, I want to pray this prayer, and I want you to pray the heart of it. We're going to ask God to show you what it would mean for you to take the next step. Because I don't know what it would mean. I know what it would mean for me, because I know me. I don't know you and everything that there is to you. Only you do, and God will show you. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would show us. As the word is being preached, as we look into the passages of Scripture that talk about prayer, that you, Almighty God, would send your Spirit to convict us of our sin, righteousness, judgment. Lord, I pray that you would sanctify us and show us what it means for us to take the next step in engaging in a fruitful prayer life before your throne of grace. And it is with joy in our hearts that we ask this, because we get to. Lord, if there's those here who don't have the joy in their heart, who are being convicted and condemned, I pray that you'd minister to them in a special way to show them the gospel of Jesus Christ that forgives sin, forgives all sin, and has faith in Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name, thanking you in advance for what you will do for answering this prayer. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. As we are quickly coming to the end of Colossians, and it's been a great study talking about the gospel, talking about not philosophy, not legalism, talking about Christ and Christ alone, setting our hearts on things above, on Him. Talking about what that looks like in the family. Wives, submit. Husbands, love. Children, obey. Bond servants, obey. Slaves, obey your masters. And we come to Colossians and we think about all of the things that were just spoken about, and we come to this. How are you going to do that? How in the world are you going to set your heart on things above, not on things upon the earth, when you're surrounded by the things of the earth? How are you going to love your wife and not be bitter with her? Wives, how are you going to submit to your husband as is fitting to the Lord? Children, how are you going to obey your parents? Brothers and sisters, how are you going to forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you? How are you going to put on tender mercies and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another? How are you going to put off the old and put on the new? How are you going to do this? It's right here. It's Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer. Continue earnestly in prayer. Four words. That's how. Pray. Pray. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. That's pray. And do according to how God leads you to pray through all of these issues that are in Colossians, that are in Genesis, that are in Exodus, that are in all of Scripture. You can't take all of Scripture to all of life without prayer. All of Scripture to all of life is not an academic exercise. All of Scripture to all of life is a prayer exercise. That involves study. That involves Scripture. That involves the knowledge of God. But it, you better believe, it involves doing it on our knees before the throne of God. It's prayer. It is prayer. And here it is. Pray earnestly. Keep praying. Pray continually. Continue earnestly in prayer. Let's look at the command here. And the command in this passage is continue. That is the imperative. So the imperative is continue. Continue in prayer. What kind of continue? Continue earnestly. That is with a great amount of priority, give to your continuing as you pray. Continue earnestly. This is like top priority. Continue in your prayer. This is a command to never stop doing something. It's a command that says it just keeps on going and going and going. Continue earnestly in prayer. Okay? And so that would look like keep praying like you keep breathing. Breathe. At the moment you were born, you took that breath of air. And you start crying. Ah! And from that point on, you're breathing and crying. Pray is like breathe. From the moment you're born again, you have a relationship with God, and you breathe, and you pray. And so Scripture is saying, keep praying like you're to keep breathing. The moment you stop breathing, stuff happens. Stuff starts shutting down. Try and hold your breath. How long can you hold your breath, children? Don't hold your breath till you pass out. Breathe. Because you'll pass out. If you stop breathing, radical things happen. Consequences immediately set in. And if you don't breathe, you'll pass out. If you don't pray, it's the same thing. Radical things will happen to you. You'll zombie out. You'll zone out. You'll stop living. And ultimately, you'll die. Just as the body cannot live without oxygen, neither can your soul live without prayer. Your regenerated soul, your born-again soul, is not designed to live without prayer. Prayer is to the soul what oxygen is to the body, to the lungs. So keep praying. Continue earnestly in prayer. Martin Luther said, if I should neglect prayer but a single day, I should lose a great deal of the fire of faith. Oh, and I've had that echoed in my life so many times over. I lose the fire of my faith. If I'm praying, it's the power and the fire is there. But when I cease praying, I lose the power and I lose the fire. I lose the spirit. My human spirit talking about of what it means to follow. I lose the earnest, the unction. Luther would pray for several hours every day. Every morning, he prayed for several hours. And the more pressure he had on him, the more he prayed. That's why he got so much done. He prayed. Keep praying. Continue earnestly in prayers. Prayer is not just something that you do. Prayer reveals who you are. It reveals who you are. A praying man is a man of God. A praying woman is a woman of God. A man who does not pray is not a man of God. A woman who does not pray is not a woman of God. It's that simple. I mean, we can just cut down to who is spiritual and who is not before God, actually. And again, who knows? I mean, these are things we don't know. You know, we can look at other factors, and those are factors usually aren't as reliable as this one. What you do, how you pray, what you do with your money, how you relate to others, your relationships. Right? If you think your money's yours, I'm not going to tithe, I'm not going to give to the Lord joyfully. Right? That's a pretty good indication there's no faith there. Not, at least not a whole lot. Right? If your relationships are full of bitterness and sarcasm and, right? God is love, and he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So there's little, if any, no faith there. There's no godliness there, right? Prayer is the same thing. It's that mirror, you know? And the other one would be your relationship with the Word of God. If you're not interested in the Word, right? The Word's not important to you. I don't have time for the Word. There's no faith there. But we're talking about faith, praise. Faith loves the saints. Faith is enamored with the Word of God. That's why prayer is one of these mirrors that is always an accurate revealing mirror. Prayer reveals. A man of God prays. A woman of God prays. Robert Murray McShane said, "What a man is on his knees before God, that he is and nothing more." Do you agree with that statement? What a man is on his knees before God, that he is and nothing more and nothing less. I agree with that statement. These statements have been powerful in helping give me a zeal for prayer. Powerful statements. It's prayer. Praying before God. That's what is needed. John Bunyan said, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." I love that statement by John Bunyan. There's more to do, but you can't do anything until you prayed about it. Are you in prayer? Are you having the unction from the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and move you into the direction that you should go? A praying man is always a working man. A praying man is always a heavenly-minded man with earthly wisdom. The two do not, they can never be separate. We're not talking about Gnosticism. And real praying men aren't. Gnostics don't really pray. They pray, they don't really pray prayer. They escape through a fantasy world. That's not biblical prayer. Biblical prayer is all about what God said, praying it into this world. Because you're aligning your will with God's will. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Prayer. I mean, a lot of people talk about prayer. Maybe you have some bad examples of prayer. I don't know. But prayer is where it's at. Prayer is the lifeblood that a Christian has to knowing God. Prayer is very practical. It's very hands-on. It's very tangible. It's very accessible. The ministry of prayer is what moves nations. Certainly what moves churches. Right? And guess what? The door is open for everybody to pray. Everybody can have a ministry of prayer. Everybody. Everybody's called to the throne of grace and has been given the most important ministry. And that's prayer. All kinds of prayers. And He invites you, come. The most important thing you can do for your children, prayer. The most important thing you can do for yourself, prayer. The most important thing you can do for me, pray. The church, pray. And having prayed, act in faith with how God is leading you as you pray more about these things. Continue earnestly in prayer. The Puritans used to say, pray until you've prayed. I love that statement. Pray until you've prayed. See, sometimes we continue a little bit. We don't have the earnest in our prayer. And we stop. We get sidetracked, discouraged. Pray till you pray. So sometimes you have a burden or you're thinking about something and you pray about it. And it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. Well, you're not done praying. Pray through it. Pray till you pray. Sometimes it just comes. Sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes it takes days or weeks or months or years to pray through a certain subject, an individual subject at any given moment. And that's where Paul, in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, with such wisdom, writes this. He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So while you're praying, you're to be vigilant, being. This is what this kind of prayer looks like. The kind of earnest prayer, continual prayer, there's an aspect in which it must be flavored with vigilance. And it's not vigilance, I have to be vigilant or else I'll stop praying. I got to be vigilant or I'll stop praying. Well, you'll stop praying. Because you're being vigilant on the wrong thing. I got to keep praying. It's not self-effort. It's faith. Faith in what? Be vigilant in praying with thanksgiving. Be watchful that you are thankful in your prayers. Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You must be watchful in your prayers that you remain thankful in all that you pray about. Be watchful to always have an attitude of gratitude for whom the one you are praying. That is, don't lose sight of God while you're praying. Because as you understand, faith is praying to God, the God of the universe, the God who hears, cares, and acts. That's going to create a spontaneous, supernatural thankfulness. You're praying to God. You're talking to God. And God listens to you. Does that not produce thankfulness? Amen? That's right. See, because sometimes we don't continue earnestly in prayer because all kinds of reasons. Does God hear? Does God listen? Sometimes we get into a mentality where I'm praying and I lose sight of God. And that kind of prayer just looks like lists. You have your lists that you keep praying over. You know, I don't know. I'm sure everybody here, we are prone to have our lists. God help this. God help this. I need this. Right? And there's a couple things. They're on our hearts. And they're dear to our hearts. And because they're on our hearts, they keep coming up. Because we pray what's on our heart. We do. And so they keep coming up and coming up and coming up. And if you're not vigilant, you'll just pray your list over and over and over again. And you actually become in danger of what the Lord told us here about being vain in our repetition. Matthew 6:6, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. I remember when I first got a hold of that and I started going into my prayer closet, I was in my early 20s. And my prayer life just, whoo, it's like, I'm praying to God. That made all the difference. I'm praying to God. Before that, I used to just say prayers. I didn't really pray prayers. I said prayers. Lord, bless this and help this and here's this and right. And there's no faith in that. But when you're praying to God and you know that He hears you and you know that He is a gracious, kind, heavenly Father who's hearing your prayers, my goodness, that is the catalyst for the secret, hidden prayer life. There it is, right there. And you go, and you go to the quiet place, and you pray. And you pray until you pray, because you know the God to whom you're praying to. Prayer is all about knowing God. The reason we don't pray is because we don't know God. If we knew God, we would pray like crazy and we'd never stop. Pray earnest in your prayers. Your Father knows what you have need of. He knows that. He knows you need this, 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 and the other thing. He knows that. So how should you pray? And pray in faith. Yes. Pray in faith. Pray expectingly. If there is no expectation to your prayers, there's no faith in your prayers. Pray expectingly. Not in vain repetition like the heathens. Not simply a list of depressing items. And when you pray, knowing God, Jesus gave us the disciples' prayer, the model prayer, the God-centered prayer. I pray it. I think through it probably every day. I don't keep track, but I probably think through it every day. Pray like this. Our Father. Whose Father? Plural. Our Father. Not even, doesn't say my Father. Isn't that awesome? It's a community event from the beginning. Our Father. Who art in heaven. Set your mind on things above, not on things upon the earth. Prayer does that like nothing else can. We're going to consider things from God's perspective. Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. This is about your holiness, your otherness, your transcendence, your mightiness, your greatness, your holiness. His name. His name communicating who He is. So when we pray, we consider who God is. And as we consider who God is, we gain perspective. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. The goal of prayer is to advance God's will. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. To advance God's kingdom as His will being done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. So it's not some ethereal thing. It's not some Gnostic thing. It's not something out there. It's God, your will be done on earth, which will do more for you than anything will ever do for you to see life from a biblical worldview. That's it. Yes, there's academics and study involved, but without prayer, all that stuff is hogwash. Because you never see it. I need to be able to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help me to see the issues of my day today from your perspective. That I call heaven's will on earth. Isn't that fun? See, praying with faith is fun. Praying without faith is a drudgery. Praying with faith is exciting. Prayer without faith is boring. Praying with faith is addictive. Praying without faith is nothing. It's flat. Praying by faith to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is always done in heaven. We are the agents that God has chosen to bring about His will on earth. That's a faith. That's incredible. That brings us to the wrestling point of what is your will? We'll get into that more. It's in the Word. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, what about my needs? Give us this day our daily bread. God knows that you have need of these things. So it's good to pray. Sustenance. Give me contentment. Daily bread. Daily bread is a prayer for sustenance. Right? I need you, God. I need this. You know that I need it. I know that you know that I need it. I'm worshiping you because you are the creator. You are the sustainer of all. So I'm glorifying you. I'm hallowing your name as I ask of you for my daily bread. I ask of you for the ability to produce and provide for my responsibilities. That's a joy. It's not a drudgery. It's a faith perspective. It's a glorious thing. And I know that you know this. So I come before you as a beggar, asking bread. Isn't that glorious? To a gracious Father. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us, O God. Is there anyone I've sinned against? Is there anyone who sinned against me that I need to release to forgive? Do I have knowledge of someone that I sinned against? I need to go reconcile. Relationships. Lord, make me sensitive to these things. So God is our Father. We are to hallow His name. He sustains us. And He blesses us spiritually with forgiveness. Those who are forgiven, forgive. Right? Bear one another's burdens. Forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. Praying this for one another. Do not lead us into temptation. Do not lead us into temptation. That's a cry of the heart. Lord, keep us holy. Make us holy. There's an evil one out there who is a lion who wants to destroy. Keep us from temptation. Because temptation is real. Our greatest danger is sin. So keep us from tempting. Us. So I'm praying for my brothers and sisters in this. Us. My family. You. Other people I know. Saints. Right? Keep us from temptation. Bless their marriage. I know a brother who's struggling with this. I'm praying for my sister struggling with this. Look at the marriages. Those marriages would not be falling apart if there was these prayers going up. I'm for real. Why all this bad fruit? Because there's no root in prayer. Prayer is the key to overcoming. Deliver us. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's a God-centeredness to it all. That's prayer. Stanley Jones, in his book Liberating Ministry from the Success Syndrome, writes, "Prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. If I throw out an anchor from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull it, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God." I love that quote. It's aligning my will to the will of God. And as I align my will to the will of God and see the glories of the kingdom of God and what God has said, I can be encouraged and strengthened in my faith and bold in my faith and what I ask my Abba for. Because I know He hears me. I know He hears me. Now, when you're praying those types of prayers, and I would encourage you to read books. I have the Hidden Life of Prayer by McIntyre. I've got some of those on the back. J.C. Ryle's A Call to Prayer. Anything by Bounds is an incredible. I have all of his books on. I think I have all of his books on prayer. So many good books on prayer. They help keep it before your mind. But prayer, when you're praying this way, you're going to be thankful in it. And so this thankfulness is spontaneous praise. See, that's just the praise that comes from a faithful, faith-filled prayer life directed to God and God alone. You're going to be thankful in it. And so be vigilant, be watchful. As you continue in prayer, the temptation is to get overwhelmed or distracted or to lose faith or to lose heart. And then prayer is a drudgery. And that's why so many people don't pray. Because who wants to do a drudgery? Right? People don't pray. If it's this powerful and this wonderful, why don't more people do it? Because they have prayed before without faith and it's flat. And their prayers just feel like they hit the ceiling and come back down. God doesn't answer my prayer. And who wants to keep doing that? Well, the prayer of faith, if these principles, these what the Scripture says about prayer, is so vital to grapple with so that our prayers do go to the throne of heaven. And as we see that being answered, wow, is that ever exciting? And the more that happens in your life, the more encouraged you will be to pray. Look what Paul does. Look how Paul weaves this thankful spirit into his prayer. I mean, it's seamless. Paul's praying and praying, and he's thankful. I mean, you're getting this worship service as he's writing these epistles. What does he say in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3? We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So here he is praying for the saints. And he's thankful that he gets to pray for them. He's thanking God the Father because he heard of their faith. He knew it was God's will that they would receive Him by faith. And they did. So he's thankful. And so that is such an important lesson that it is incredibly instructive in our life. I am thankful for your faith. I am thankful for your faith and your faith and your faith and your faith. I'm thankful for some of the choices you've made that reflect faith. I am so thankful, and I give that thanks. I give my thanks to God the Father who's given you that faith. That's an actual, tangible expression of God's will on earth. It's not humanism. Humanism is man causes all things. It's not you just happen to cause this. Men don't just cause faith in God. God causes faith in God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. So God uses His Word in the power of the Spirit to create faith. And as I see faith, anywhere I see faith, I am thankful to God. Isn't that beautiful? Wouldn't you be a lot more joy-filled in your relationship with your brothers and sisters if you're always thankful for the faith that they did have, rather than the incompleteness and some short sightings that they still do have? You know, I mean, you know, if you're going to be critical, be thankful. Do the hamburger, right? Be thankful, be critical, be thankful. More praise and thankfulness than the criticism. It's just a good way to think about people. You know, brother so-and-so, well, I'm thankful for their faith. I don't agree with this, but I am thankful that God uses them in these ways. Right? That's how Paul would do it. Look how he writes. I'm thankful. He'll give a correction. I'm thankful. Here's a correction. I'm thankful. I praise God for your faith. So he's writing and he's saying, I'm thankful. Look at verse 9. Colossians 1:9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So because he's so thankful, this is worship to God for Paul. And it just flows. It flows from him. And look how he's praying for them. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit, and being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I pray that they would increase in the knowledge of God. That's a prayer of faith. That's how we are to pray. You can just look through the epistles, Pauline epistles, and just pray the prayers of Paul. Powerful activity to do. We had the book by D.A. Carson, we had it here years ago. We went through it. A Call for Spiritual Reformation. And he just takes the prayers of Paul and talks about how we can pray those. It's an excellent little book. That's not that little. Here's how we pray. Being thankful in all things. Colossians 3:17. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church. I'm sorry, I'm Colossians 1:17. That all things He may have the preeminence. So prayer is always about the greatness of God, the priority of God, the promises of God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So as we are praying, as we are thankful, it's Christ's firstness, His greatness, His kingdom come, His will be done, that we are to be thanking and praying. That's the vigilance that we're to be looking for. You understand that? You see how that works? And that's going to create thankfulness. Think about Daniel in Daniel chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. You can look it up later. Daniel prays. The decree went out. Nebuchadnezzar going to kill all the wise men because they don't know what they're talking about. Daniel prays. They get together. He gets together with his friends. And they pray. And Daniel writes this hymn of praise to God. Thank you, Almighty God, that you heard my prayer. You see that throughout the Psalms. The Psalms teach us to pray. The Proverbs teach us how to live. The Psalms teach us how to praise God. And you just see over and over, thank you, oh God, for hearing my voice. Give ear to the voice of my supplication. And I'm talking voice. You got to say it. If there's something about saying your prayers, yes, you should be praying in your heart quietly. Absolutely. But you know what? You got to name the name of Christ and pray out loud so that your ears can hear your voice. God gave you a voice to pray to Him. And I know sometimes you can't pray out loud, and God can read your heart. We all know that, right? But you better believe that there is, if you're going to really pray to your prayer, you're praying out loud. Lift up your voice. Cry out to God. Use your voice to pray out loud as you seek to pray for His glory. For Him to bend your will to His will. This is what faith looks like when it prays. And I invite you, I just invite you, I challenge my own soul with this, and I invite you, look what Christ said in Matthew 7. Be vigilant in this. Pray continuously. Continue earnest in prayer. Be watchful with all thanksgiving. Now, if this tract does not encourage your faith to pray, it's because you lack faith. Because Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Christ invites you to ask. Is that amazing? Matthew 7:7. There's a lot of verses like this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. So ask means whose responsibility is this? Man's or God's? It's man's. When you see an imperative in the Bible, you know it's man's responsibility. That's what an imperative means. God is 100% sovereign. Man is 100% responsible. And don't get into this whole thing. Well, if God is sovereign, why should I pray? That is the dumbest thing. I mean, I understand what people say that. People say that because they lack faith. They're immature in their faith. Right? And they don't understand how they don't understand how faith works. Because faith says, because God is sovereign, man ought to pray. It's not because God is sovereign, He's going to do it all, that I don't pray. Because God is sovereign, why should I witness? Well, because God is sovereign, you should witness. Because God is sovereign, men ought always to pray. Why? Because God has ordained the ways in which He specifically says His will is accomplished. And in the sovereign will of God, He has ordained in His sovereignty that you go share the gospel. He has ordained in His sovereignty that you should pray. And He says prayer changes things. So it does. Now, do we know the sovereign will of God? No, we never know the sovereign will of God. I'm making the distinction. We know the more, as the sovereign Lord revealed to us His word, we always know what God's will is in the scripture. But I mean sovereign will of God, like what's going to happen in America, what's the end of America? The Bible doesn't say, right? That's what I mean. Unless God reveals it in His word, we don't know the ultimate purposes of God and how it'll work out. But we do know what God has revealed in His word. So we always know the moral will of God. But we don't know that. So we can pray that and ask God to show us how to do His will on earth as it is in heaven. But we know He has a sovereign will. Our responsibility is to pray so that we can be in line with His moral will that He has revealed to us. It's an issue of prayer. It's an issue of faith. And in that sense, a statement that helps me a lot is God is 100% responsible. God is 100% sovereign, and man is 100% responsible. Because God said He's sovereign, and He is. Absolutely. But when God says you're to do something, you are held responsible for that, and God equips you to perform that by His grace. With man, these things are impossible. With man, you can't pray. With man, you can't save yourself. We know that. Scripture's all over that. There's no one righteous. No, not one. There's none that seek good. Man cannot save himself or even have a prayer life by own human effort. But faith is what God gives in His mercy that enables us to do God's will on earth as it is in heaven. It is a gift of God. And so as we understand the tremendous gift that faith is, we see how we can work out our responsibilities before God. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is Him who works within you to do and to will for His good pleasure. So it's yes. So the fact that God is sovereign should motivate you to pray. The fact that God is sovereign should motivate you to witness. The fact that God is sovereign should motivate you to obey. Because He told you to. And He's commanded you to. And He's shown you. So, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Those are imperatives. They mean do this. In your prayers, ask, seek, knock. For everyone who asks, receive. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that as you ask things of God, you will receive them? Amen. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, and he will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, good things to those who ask Him? Why does Jesus say it there? Because He knows that when you stop asking, it's because you no longer trust His character. And many of you have stopped asking because you don't trust the character of God. So Jesus tells a story. Hey, you guys are evil. Your kids ask you for something, you give them good things. You don't give them a scorpion to play with. You think God is less than you? You lose your trust in who God is and God in the goodness of God. So ask, and it will receive. Seek, and you will find. Now, oftentimes people have asked God for things, and God has not answered their prayer. This is a big one. And so because God has not answered their prayer, they lose faith in God. And it happens all the time. So let's talk about unanswered prayer. Thank God for unanswered prayer, right? There's something we need to understand as we pray to the Sovereign Lord. That there's at least, you know, there's many, there's more, but at least let's put them into four. What about unanswered prayer? Four categories here for unanswered prayer. When you ask God for things, sometimes God says no. That's an answer. That's an answer. You have asked things for God and He said no to you. Is that okay? Can God say no? Yeah. He says no. And there's a lot of reasons why God says no. Doesn't fit within His plan. Okay. I know God is good. He doesn't want me to have that. That's okay, isn't it? It doesn't. That our faith needs to be more rooted in than that, and that would reveal shallow faith. If God just says no to me, well, I'm not going to pray to God anymore. And I've heard people say that. I asked God for this, that, and the other thing. He didn't give it to me, so I'm not praying to Him anymore. Well, you probably weren't. You weren't really praying to the God of the Bible anyway. Second of all, you're not hallowing His name. Your concern is for yourself, and for that James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So there's some things that you're asking for that's not going to be good for you. And God says no. He just flat out says no. Even if you really, really, really want it. You know, sometimes we get a little spoiled as Americans. We really, really, really want it. And we think if we really, really, really want it, that God would give it to us. And God sometimes says, no, you're asking amiss. You're not going to have what you asked for. Okay, sometimes you may be praying a good prayer, but you have sin in your life, sin in your heart. All kinds of sin. I don't know what kind of sin. You ask God what kind of sin. And you saw, Psalm 66 is a good one for this. We can look at Psalm 66. You can look at the whole psalm. It's a great psalm. But let's look at Psalm 66, verse 17. I cried to Him with my mouth. Again, voice, right? I cried to Him with my mouth. And he was extolled with my tongue. If I regarded iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not hear. So if I regard iniquity in my heart, I have sin in my heart, God may not be hearing my prayer. I may be praying a good thing, but maybe there's iniquity in my heart that God wants to surface. Maybe He's dealing with me. Maybe He's giving me some discipline. And part of that is the unanswered prayer. Maybe I'm not loving my wife, 1 Peter 3:7. I mean, the Scripture says, I'm not going to hear your prayer, husband, if you're not loving, dwelling with your wife according to understanding. Maybe I've been taking communion in an unworthy manner. I don't know what it is, but there's sin there. There's sin in the camp. Just like when Joshua, when they got beat at Ai, and he comes before the Lord, crying before the Lord. And the Lord says to him, get up, stop crying, there's sin in the camp. Go deal with it. And he takes him to Achan. He brought the judgment of God on the camp because Achan regarded sin in his heart and brought the judgment of God on the camp for what he coveted. Broke the tenth commandment and took some things. So these things happen all the time. And a fool twists this around and says it's God's fault for not hearing my prayer. But all along, God's just being gracious and holy and sovereign in your life. And you twist it all up and you get upset with them. Can somebody give me a drink of water, please? You twist it all up and you just get, right? So the Psalm 66:18 is a great verse. I'll finish it up. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer for his mercy from me. So the psalmist says, search me and know me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. See if there's something in my heart. This is part of praying. That's why the Bible, in James, it says, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. In the context of the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. This prayer is always involved in the confession of sin and the physical healing and the spiritual healing. They all go hand in hand together. It's all part of a praying life. A godly life is a praying life. A faith-filled life is a praying life. And you can never have anything other than that. If you have a problem with your prayer life, it's because you have a problem with faith in God. If you have faith in God, your physical life, your prayer, it's all built on this premise of faith. The just shall live by faith. And so prayer is incredible. So God could say, no, you're asking a wrong request. Okay? You know, I hear people pray, oh, God, give me this, this, and this. I want this, this, and this. God says, no! It's not in His will. God's will never contradict Scripture. Ever, never, never, never! Don't pray for it! It's an abomination to pray for things like that. Something's clearly against Scripture. Lord, I pray that You would revive the public education system. What is God's will for that? God never said that we're supposed to, as Christians, send our kids to be discipled by people that are against God. Is God going to bless that? You can say, bless my child. I mean, God is gracious to us and deals with us where we're at. Right? But people sometimes pray, Lord, I pray that You'd be with me. What kind of prayer is that? I mean, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Right? So should you keep saying, God, be with me, when God said, I'll never be with you? It's more, Lord, help me be in tune with the fact that You're with me and I'm not with You. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. These things are faith. They come down to faith. So sometimes God says no. Sometimes there's sin in our hearts. Sometimes God says, wait! And this is a huge one. Wait! I know people, they've prayed for a loved one for 20 years. And I know people that have prayed for other people and they get saved the first 6 months. Wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as the eagles. Wait. And as you wait, waiting is an aspect of faith. James 1:5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, who gives to all liberally without reproach. So as you're waiting on the Lord, God gives wisdom. Receive that wisdom. As you wait on the Lord, God gives the strength to persevere. Those are answers to prayer. Amen? I just went through a trial. My son could not nurse. He was born with a situation where the left side of his body was not developed. And for 3.5 months, My wife had the nurse. I mean, she had to pump and feed him nonstop around the clock. It was an intense 3.5 months. You know, because it just ended a week ago. God didn't answer that prayer immediately. I prayed that. But what did God give me? God gave me perseverance. Thank you for praying for me. God answered your prayers. God refined me. He showed me God redeems. He redeems every day. And He gave me the faith to persevere that. Did God answer that prayer? Yes. See, sometimes you think, we want the big shabam. God could do that according to His sovereign will. For His purposes. And He can do it anytime He wants to. Amen? I'm all for that. And that's usually where I pray first. Because that alleviates a lot of pressure in many different ways. And who wouldn't want to see that? But Jesus says, you seek a sign. You seek wonders. They sought sign and wonders. And He's like, He did these specific signs and wonders for specific reasons to show who He was. Now we have them. They're recorded. Does it mean He can't do them again? But you always have to be looking at leaving this in the hand of God. He knows what He's doing. Sometimes He says, wait. Many of you, we laid hands on and prayed for my son Nicholas. Young. It was, five years ago, we were at family camp. His leg seized up and he couldn't walk. Do you remember that? He was walking along like this. Well, we've been praying over him. He has had an intense amount of pain. And it's not this, it's not this, it's not arthritis. And God gave wisdom. God chose to give some wisdom. Yesterday on that hike was the first time that he was able to do all that hiking up and down those hills all day long with zero leg pain. Because we've been praising God because he's been getting better. But he had no leg pain. Did God answer those prayers? Now, he answered it in a way that said, wait, here's wisdom, now persevere. I'm always praying, I want it right here. Wham! Be loosed, right? They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Sometimes we give up praying right before the answer. This is how God works, brothers and sisters. Wait. Sometimes God says, wait. He's not the Amorite. I'm not the Amorites. The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Sometimes in God's sovereign plan, He's got these way big plans. 400 years, you'll go into captivity. God did a lot in 400 years with the children of Israel in captivity. In Egypt. Why 4.5 years? God said. You got to wait to get out. But I want to be debt free today. Okay. Seek the wisdom. Seek principles. I want to be healed today. We always want it right here, right now. And see, God can't be manipulated. That's important. Prayer is not the manipulation of God. Prayer is the seeking of God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praying is about, by faith, aligning our will to His will and embracing it and hanging on to it. Persevering in prayer with thanksgiving, knowing that God will have these things. And of course, sometimes God says, yes! Yes! I prayed for 10 years from the time God called me in the ministry. Lord, where am I supposed to go? Where am I supposed to pastor? I had no idea. Praying. I'll be to other countries overseas. I'm going to go to Russia. I'm going to go to Morocco. I'm going to go to Baltimore. I'm going to go to Maine. All over. Never knew, But I'm pursuing Bible college and going to seminary and studying and growing and all this stuff. And then God opened a door within a few months. And God brought it all together. And this church was planted. God said, yes. The door was open. I walked through. And it was amazing. This church is here because of prayer. It's always important to know. This church began with prayer. I was praying. There was a group of families here that were praying. It began with prayer. And the true church is always sustained and begun with prayer. Well, you need to remember that. Ministry is about prayer. Family life is about prayer. Finding a wife is about prayer. I have a wife. I have a good wife because of prayer. God answering my prayer. Amen? And so do you. And we could go after many of you and have testimony after testimony of, I was praying and God heard my prayer. Amen? So sometimes God says yes. Sometimes I mean, and we could go on and give a list of answers to prayer, right? I mean, it's awesome. So that's a big. We need to, as we pray in faith to the living God, we need to be praying and exercising our faith in all these areas. Okay, so don't lose heart in prayer. Keep praying. Be earnest in your prayer. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 4. Continue earnest in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Now, Paul is going to pray, ask for specific prayer. Keep praying specific prayer. And he says this: meanwhile, praying for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So he's going to pray for specific prayer of an open door, that God would open a door. Now, let's talk about open door theology, because open door theology can be pretty open. Did Paul know what God wanted him to do? Yeah! It says right here, meanwhile, praying for us that God would open a door to us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. What did Paul want to do? Speak the mystery of Christ. Paul knew what God's will was. Right? Open door theology. You know, God, if it's your will, show me your will, and here's a fleece. That's very dangerous when it relates to knowing what God's will is. Let me say it again. That's very dangerous in knowing what God's will is. Lord, if you want me to marry her or her, maybe that's not a good example. You know, if you want me to believe the gospel or not, that's a better example, right? Then do X, Y, and Z. No, God wants you to believe the gospel because He said so. Lord, do you really want me to go apologize and reconcile with this brother? You have to do this, this, and this. No! You need to go because God said so. You see, you really need to understand the moral will of God is revealed in Scripture. Proverbs 28:9 says, he who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So those antinomian, or those who pray against, without the informed knowledge of God's law word, informing who God is, and pray in that kind of a way, their prayers are an abomination to God. I've had many, many people, Lord, should I divorce my spouse? That's an abomination to God. He says, reconcile, love your spouse, right? Confess your sins one to another, that you may be healed. But I'm so bitter, I think I should confess, right? And people pray that. And you probably know Christians who have prayed these prayers and now have left for no good reason and are remarried to other people. I say, and they say, yeah, but look, all these things just fell into place. Yeah, that's because the devil's in there too. You know, you can't tell the difference between the devil working and God. If you turn your ear from hearing the law, even if all these things fall into place, it's an abomination. And the prayers you pray are an abomination. Yeah, but she is in a family, and they had their first child, maybe their second child, and she just got this huge promotion. And look at all these things are just lining up for her to be able to do this. And look, Aunt So-and-so is able to watch the kids. Conclusion. It must be God's will. Only if you turn your ear away from hearing the law. People pray these prayers all the time. Their starting point is themselves. And because their starting point is themselves, they pray their will be done and ask God to sanctify it so they can be happy. Those are abominational prayers. No. And that's not, open door theology is not that at all. Paul knew God's will. Go into all the world, make disciples. We know the moral will of God. All right. Paul was praying that God would take what he knew, what was right and what was wrong, what his commission was that Jesus Christ sent him to do, that God would open a door for him to be able to do it. Isn't that an awesome prayer? That's prayer. Paul had the strategy in his mind. He knew what God wanted him to do. Now where? God, I need the power to have it happen here, right now. You see the difference? He wasn't seeing this to see testing the water to see if God would have him preach the gospel. No, God said, go preach the gospel, Paul. You don't need to ask my permission. You don't need to open door. You know, well, okay, come over here. I'm going to go do this. No, go over there and preach the gospel to them. They're in creation. They're breathing. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Go show the gospel to them. God's word reveals God's will. As you get to know God, God's will find you. As you seek Him out, there are things that are unknown. You don't know God's sovereign will. See, as I was in seminary and all that stuff, I didn't know God's sovereign will. I didn't know where God specifically would have me to go. That's what I didn't know. And I was all over the map with it. But it used to be really important to me. Then I realized it really didn't matter where I went as much as I really focused on what was God's will with what He was calling me to do. And when those things came in line, then I focused on the what, not the where. God led me into the where. That just happens to be here. And God led me here. And I believe that. Because I was praying that God would lead me. Right? I needed an open door. But the what is God's will? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Make disciples. Advance the kingdom. Right? That's the stuff of faith. And when you have that perspective of faith, one of my favorite verses is 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. I know it's God's will that I train up my children in the ways of the Lord. I know it's His will. Don't have to guess on that, Lord. Give me the power to do it. Give me the heart to do it. I know it's God's will for you to do it. To train up your kids. To love each other. To make disciples. I know it's God's will. So I pray in faith for you. And as I pray in faith for you, I can pray knowing God's will as I wrestle through the specifics. And the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us through the specifics. The Holy Spirit helps us to see and clarify. The Holy Spirit reveals this, the lack of faith in our heart. Praying in the Spirit in all times. The Spirit of God helps us clarify the Word of God so that we can be used to pray and advance His will through the specific situation. So as we pray for one another, that's what we pray. The Spirit intercedes with our weaknesses because we often don't know how to pray in different circumstances because we have different feelings and emotions and all these things. The Spirit of God searches these things out and makes intercessions according to what? The will of God. Romans chapter 8. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit can take a messed up prayer and turn it around and give it to God the Father. I love that. Praise God for that. Sometimes I pray messed up prayers. And then time goes on. Why did I pray that way? You know, and while I'm praying a prayer, I start out here because I'm all discombobulated. And then it kind of all comes down. How does that happen? The Spirit helps intercede with our weaknesses so that we can give up petitions according to the will of God. And once we lock in, that's pray to you pray. We lock in. We know God's will. Perseverance. Right? Obedience. Praying in all times. I know what I have, what I ask for, because I know what I've asked according to God's Word. And in that sense, we pray for open doors. We pray specifically, pray for the open doors. That we would have the power of God to make disciples. You may need someone in your life to disciple. Pray that. You may need an increased prayer life. Right? Paul made plans to spread the gospel, make disciples, establish leadership, and plant churches. That's what he was focused on. That's, as Christians, we all have a part to play in that great commission. And so he asked for prayer. Look at 1 Corinthians 16:9. Look how he understood open doors. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door is open to me, and there are many adversaries. Many adversaries. So just because you have an open door, does that mean it's going to be easy? No. Sometimes we misinterpret that. Oh, it's hard, therefore it's not God's will. No, it may be God's will because it's hard. So beautiful. When you move from the subjective living to objective living. Subjective, you know, up and down the waves, you don't know which is what, you don't know God, it's all confusing. Once you base it all in the Word, the confusion goes away. That's been my experience. And I praise God for that. I used to be confused about what God's will is at every level. When you focus and hone in on what Scripture says, then you have a core. And then the other things, God in His providence, in His time, as you pray and seek the Lord, He fits them in. They're not the main thing. The main thing is what's been revealed in Scripture. Love God. Love one another. The first two commandments. Right? Love God. All the law, everything unpacks that. Love God, love one another. Paul said, I'm praying for an open door. That's what I pray here. I pray for an open door in Phoenix that we would be here. That's why we're here. We are here to glorify God, raise up our families, make disciples. That's it. That's why God sent you. Paul went where? He went to the cities to plant churches as centers of cultural transformation. He went to them to preach the gospel, to make disciples. Okay? That's why we're here, to preach the gospel, to make disciples, to see God grow churches. We want to plant not just one church, we want to plant 20 churches plus. I pray that God would use me to plant 20 churches in my lifetime. Depending on how you count them, I did two. And I'm not I, but God through using us, right? But there's more. We need men. We need more elders in this church. We need more elders to be sent. I talk to people often, that groups of people that we could start a church with. Right? Here in the valley, we want to plant a church in the West Valley. I'm sorry, in the Northwest Valley someday. I mean, there's people everywhere, right? That's called missional thinking. And missional thinking is a faith-based prayer life. And that stands in contrast to, well, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want what I want. I want security. I want significance. Help me get what I want. Ah, right? That's not biblical prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Paul said, God gave me this open door. 2 Corinthians 2:12. Furthermore, when I went to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened to me by the Lord. Why did he open the door? Preach the gospel. Make disciples. Preach the gospel. Make disciples. I love Revelation 3:8. I know your work. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little struggle, have kept my word and have not denied my name. We need a door open for us here. And I believe God has given us that. He's given us a platform. He's given us a church to be part of. He's opening doors, right? Just like Brother Louis, we were praying for years for a witness on Estrella Mountain College. And God opened that door. I had forgotten about it. So Brother Louis comes to me. I had forgotten. I prayed about that. It was years ago. And he says, hey, we got a door open to go preach the gospel at Estrella Mountain College on Tuesday. Tuesday, right? Amen. That's an answer to prayer. That's an open door. And there are so many open doors. Well, I mean, there's tons of open doors that God gives us. But prayer helps us to see them. It helps us to see the importance of them. So, prayer does these things. If a door is shut and you know God's will, here's what you need to do. Pray it open. I didn't say pry it open. I said pray it open. And there's nothing more exciting to me than to pray open a door. Here's a situation and there's some sin going on and you pray an open door. And God opens a door and there's repentance and there's healing. Awesome! That gives thanksgiving to God. It's incredible. I love prayer. Prayer is... And I'm just beginning to pray. I need to grow my prayer, but I am so thankful for prayer. Prayer is... It's the key. If a door is shut and you know God's will, pray it open. And that's a process. You don't just, you know, depending, right? Pray it open. Continue earnest in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us the door for the Word to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Pray for me. Pray for Nathan, pray for Brad. Pray that we would have the opportunity to preach Christ. Pray for one another, that you would preach Christ. Pray for the fathers, that they would lead their families in Christ. The mothers, that they would train their children up in the ways of the Lord. Pray for one another. Please pray. Prayer opens the doors to make this happen. Pray until you pray. The early church moved. I had a whole thing on this. I don't have time for it. You read through Acts. They prayed, things happened. They prayed, things happened. You know, where's Peter? He's in prison. What did the early church do? They prayed, and it happened. The church began in prayer. They began a small group of people praying. The next day, Pentecost. Right? There was prayer in all of these things. Peter and John were arrested. What did they do? They prayed. I mean, Acts 2, Acts 4, 20. You can read through the book of Acts. I mean, there's so many. Peter, when he was stoned, what was he doing? He was praying. Acts chapter 3, the missionary movement began. Set Paul and Barnabas apart. They were praying! They were praying. So we gather together and we pray. And it's no small deal to pray together. Pray in our homes. When we have hospitality, all these things are very important to pray, that God would give us a prayer. And if you are here and you're not engaging in prayer, it's so needful that you hear my voice and pray as Scripture commands you. Because you're hurting yourself, you're hurting your family, you're hurting your loved ones, you're hurting the assembly. We're to be a praying force. A praying force. E.M. Bounds says, what the church needs today is not more nor machinery, not new organization, or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use, men of prayer, mighty men in prayer. You want to start talking about the problem in the church in this country? It's a lack of prayer. It's a lack of prayer. The priorities for a pastor is what? Prayer in the Word. Prayer in the Word. Prayer in the Word. Word. In the 70s, a study was done about how often the average pastor spent in time prayer, like focused prayer. 3 minutes a day. I read that and I just, as hard as it's like, that's 3 minutes a day. That's why we're in the state we're in. Prayer is the key. Hours a day. We're to be praying. Now I say that there's all kinds of prayers, but you need the time when you're alone with God and pray and really pray, right? So that sets the context in your heart so you can pray throughout the day. They're both needed. Why do you have a quiet time? To seek the Lord purposely, specifically in those moments so that you can pray throughout the day. Amen. See, they're both needed. And there's going to be all kinds of prayers and petitions made. All kinds of different opportunities. But the variety of prayer is endless to the days that you may have. See, it goes with your life. But it meets the needs in your life as you pray. 3 minutes a day is enough to starve on. But let's say you're not used to praying 3 minutes a day. Make the commitment. Say you pray no minutes a day or 30 seconds a day. Make the commitment. 5 minutes a day. If you're here and you don't pray, and you're not specific in that prayer time, 10 minutes a day. I remember when I was in, when I was younger, the pastor came and he said, okay, who would be willing here to commit 10 minutes a day? And I took that challenge, you know, which tells me I wasn't doing that, right? I was praying sporadic prayers throughout the day, but not, I didn't have that focus concept. So I'm going to pray 10 minutes a day. And I started doing that. In the morning, made sure in the Word and prayer, 10 minutes a day. I think I started 5 minutes and 10 minutes. And it grows. Now, 10 minutes a day, I would suffocate and die if that's all I could pray. But make the commitment to God. It's a commitment thing to pray. But the view is not, I pray 10 minutes a day, I pray 20 minutes a day. I don't have a set time I pray for. That's right. Unless you need that to help you, I don't know. I'm not going to say it's not wrong to set aside some time if you just can't make it happen. But it's this, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And Lord, teach me to pray. And I think that's the best prayer right there. Lord, teach me to pray. God knows what you need. God knows why you're not continuing earnestly in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So every time you're anxious, you should be what? Praying. Well, that's very helpful for me, because I can get anxious about a lot of things. So that means I can be praying about a lot of things. See how prayer in this sense, except for the time you need secret time with God, and you do. Secret time with God, praying alone is huge. But other than that, the rest of it doesn't take any more time out of your day. It doesn't. It's pray as you go through your day. And you're anxious or you're angry or you're this or you're that. Pray in all those things. Let your requests be known to God. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's wonderful. I could go on and on. Pray all kinds of prayer. Keep praying. Pray these doors open. As God opens these doors, I mean, even pray, Lord, help me to walk along and talk along with my kids. And God opens the door. The only reason you're going to know that the door to your child's heart is open in that moment is because you've been praying. God will open those doors. He opens those teachable moments. Continue earnest in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. As you do these things, God hears your prayers. God will always open doors. Always. As God opens these doors, what will you need? You need to pray this, the wisdom to walk through those doors. Amen. The wisdom to walk through those doors. And that's why Paul says, walk in wisdom. So you pray for an open door. God opens the door. What do? You walk through it. You walk in wisdom. Because now you have the open door. Well, I never had this open door before. The door opens. And now you've got to walk in wisdom. Lord, help me. And so many of the prayers of Paul, that we may know the wisdom of God, that we may know the will of God, that we may know God. Pray to walk through those open doors. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. How do you redeem the time? Walk in wisdom. So your co-worker now is angry at you for something, and you can walk in wisdom. You don't return evil for evil or insult for insult, right? This is an opportunity you've been looking for. I get to show Bob some grace. Bob deserves judgment. He was wrong to me. Now he's all fired up. He's angry at me. I get to go to Bob and I get to show him grace. This is the door I've been praying for, because now I get to show Bob the gospel. So you're praying. You say, God, let's do it. Let's roll. Watch this. And you're thinking this. You're praying this. Finally, all of you will be of one mind. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. That knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he would love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. So Bob just did you wrong, but you're going to do him right. Your child just sinned against you, but you're going to do your child right. This is the open door that you would be looking for. Maybe just a person at the, if you're checking out, would you like some good news? Tell them who is God. It starts the conversation. Who is God? If you'd like to talk more, you know, give them your phone number. Give them your email address. Something like that, right? I like to hear, how are you doing in your spiritual walk? It may amount to nothing, but you're always open, looking for open doors. Always looking for the open doors. Looking for these opportunities. 1 Peter, which I'm reading now, 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Unjust suffering may be the answer to your prayer. Because it may be the opportunity to show them the gospel. Oh, these things are rich. Let your speech always be seasoned with grace. Give them what they don't deserve. You know, most people, their whole life, they've just been, and you come along and you speak to them with grace. You speak to them with undeserved favor. You're showing them grace. Season with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. That's redeeming the time. You know, it's been said you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And we can't make lost people saved, can we? But we can give them salt. We can give them salt. And they get thirsty. And we give them this grace, and they get thirsty and they want some water. We can say, I know the water. The living water. You drink of Him, you'll never thirst again. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this passage. I pray that You'd write it in our hearts. That we would be a congregation who prays. Only You can do this, Lord Jesus. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for the gift of prayer, that You hear the prayers of Your children. So we cry out to You, Abba, Father, teach us to do Your will on earth as it is in heaven. For Yours is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. I pray for everyone here that your Spirit would reveal to them what it is, what it would look like for them to take the next step in prayer, to grow them in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen.